Our confessional portion this evening is taken from Belgic Confession, Article 33, found on page 55 in the back of the Psalter hymn. Speaking about the sacraments in general, it says, "We believe that our gracious God, taking account of our weakness and infirmities, has ordained the sacraments for us, thereby to seal unto us his promises, and to be pledges of the goodwill and grace of God toward us, and also to nourish and strengthen our faith, which he has joined to the word of the gospel, the better to present to our senses both that which he declares to us by his word and that which he works inwardly in our hearts, thereby confirming in us the salvation which he imparts to us. For they are visible signs and seals of an inward and invisible thing, by means whereof God works in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore the signs are not empty or meaningless so as to deceive us. For Jesus Christ is the true object presented by them, without whom they would be of no moment. Moreover, we are satisfied with the number of sacraments which Christ our Lord has instituted, which are two only, namely the sacrament of baptism and the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so in connection with that, I'd like to read from John chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 52, and look at what Jesus speaks to the Jews about. In a sense, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, as he speaks about his flesh and his blood. "The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, 'How can this man give us his flesh to eat?' Then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever.' These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?' When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, 'Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe.' For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, 'Therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father.' From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you also want to go away?' But Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' Then Jesus answered them, 'Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil?' He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. So far, the reading of God's Word. So, just to let you know, I switched the sermons from the Belgic Confession. They deal with the same subject, but I just thought they deal with them a little more clearly and succinctly in the Belgic in the Heidelberg Catechism. So we're talking about the same subject, but I'm using the sermons that I have for Lord's Day 25 in the Heidelberg Catechism. And in the Heidelberg Catechism, the consideration of the sacraments comes at the end of the Catechism's treatment of the Apostles' Creed, which is what we have just recited together. And we are left with a very important truth, namely that only by true faith can this salvation that we've heard of be appropriated, in other words, embraced and received. And so that question becomes a very important question, namely, where does this faith come from? If faith is the avenue, if faith is the means by which all that we hear about the gospel becomes ours, then where does that faith come from? How am I able to do that? It's all very well hearing all these promises, but how do they become mine? And that's a very important subject. And of course, in our morning services, we'll get to that, right? In the slogans of the Reformation, by grace alone, by faith alone, right? But that's an important thing to address, that for people that are hearing the gospel, how did it become mine? And the Heidelberg Catechism addresses it over and over again in different Lord's Days, 20, 21, 30, 32, 53, 54, 60, 61, 64. Just goes to show how important that is for people to understand. And so much of the Bible and the Catechism speak then about true faith, right? So not only is it spoken in those terms, but it's also spoken, of course, by James, genuine faith. What is that faith? Paul speaks about it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's addressed over and over again. The salvation is by faith. We are justified by faith, as so often Abraham is spoken in that vein. Abraham believed, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So you may wonder why this question arises now as we move into the section of the sacraments. Because the sacraments are signs and seals, but again, how do we benefit from that? How does the avenue of grace become ours in the sacraments? And there's a danger then in the sacraments, which is to confuse that. And we see that confusion here in the passage that I've read. Jesus spoke about his body and his flesh, and they needed to eat that, and his blood, they needed to drink that. And they totally went off on a wrong tangent. Totally were confused. He's telling us we have to eat him. He's telling us we have to drink his blood. And Jesus is kind of surprised that at this point in his ministry, they don't get that he's speaking in terms of illustrations, helping them to understand. But he doesn't literally mean eat his flesh and drink his blood. I mean, after all, Jesus did say when he was speaking about to the Pharisees, and they said, oh, your disciples don't wash their hands and they eat and... And Jesus says, I mean, does it make sense to you that eating something that goes in and goes out of the body, that that's going to affect us spiritually? Is going to make us holy? As you Pharisees think? It's not a physical thing. And so when Jesus is speaking about you have to eat his flesh and drink his blood, he's not physically speaking about eating him and drinking his blood. He's speaking in spiritual terms. So how do we benefit from the sacraments then? Well, as clearly as our forms speak about it, it's through the working of God's Holy Spirit. It's through those truths that are being communicated to us, which is the gospel, and it's through the work of the Holy Spirit that takes those truths and applies them to our minds and hearts. I mean, if people are going to take the sacraments and think something, is going to happen in their bodies, they're going to feel different when they're taking the Lord's Supper. No, you're not going to feel any different. You shouldn't be looking for that. No, you ought to be focusing our minds, as our catechism will show, focusing our minds on the truths that are being communicated in this very visual way. But don't be attached to those things. Don't think by the eating of the bread we're getting it, or drinking of the little bit of wine that we're getting it. No, they're tangible signs that point to spiritual realities. And unless we have faith, we're not going to be able to do that. If we don't have faith, we're going to be stuck where some of the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ were, saying this is a hard saying, we can't understand what this is saying. It doesn't even make sense. And you remember what happened? They walked away. They turned their backs on the Lord Jesus Christ and left, because they didn't understand. And Jesus even said to his disciples, are you going to go too? I mean, did they get it? Is that what it was, that they understood it all? And they were surprised by all of these people raising those questions? No, they didn't get it at all either. But they didn't go away. Peter says, who are we going to go to? You have the words of life. We may be confused, but we're not confused about the fact that you are the Savior of the world. And we're not moving. We're not going. So the sacraments then are important for us to understand so that we can benefit from them without falling into this trap of taking it literally, or thinking that it's in those elements themselves, by us participating, that faith is going to be given to us. So the first thing in terms of sacraments in relation to faith, the first thing we have to understand is the sacraments do not create faith. Sacraments have no ability in and of themselves to create faith. They cannot save us simply by us using them, participating in them. But that was certainly one of the errors of the Roman Catholics, that by the doing of the sacraments, you receive the blessings. Just by outwardly doing it, you receive the blessing, which was kind of the error of the Jews. Simply by doing the sacrifices, you got everything. Whether your heart was in it or not, that didn't matter. But you did it. You offered the sacrifices. You went by the laws of the Old Testament. Therefore, it was a done deal. It was a done deal. So the Pharisees could go around thinking they were fine. Paul could go around thinking he was perfect. He was at peace with God because he did everything God wanted him to do, namely sacrifices for the sins that he had committed. And he thought it was fine. But he wasn't. He absolutely wasn't. So it's not just doing the things. And as I said, with the Catholics, that's the same. So baptism, for example, if an infant is baptized, original sin is forgiven. That's all that's needed, just baptize. In fact, that's why if someone has a baby and they're Catholic and the baby looks like it's not going to survive, then they want that baby baptized. Even though a priest may not be there, they allow nurses to do it because it's in the doing that you receive the benefit. I mean, It would be an unthinkable thing for us to say, oh, if the baby's going to die, just get anyone to baptize. Just use the in the Father and the Son, in the names of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and it'll be done. Just by doing it. No, no. And the same with the Mass. So by doing the Mass, and that's why they do it so often, you receive forgiveness of sins. In fact, it was stretched to the limit, to the point that we can do it for the dead. People that are not even there, we do it in their place so that their time in purgatory is shortened. No. No, absolutely not. The Catechism clearly teaches the relationship between true faith and the sacraments by categorically saying that they in no way create true faith. The sacraments do not have the ability to create faith. If we want to answer where true faith comes from, or who or how it is created, then there is only one answer in the Bible, namely that it is a work of the Holy Spirit who produces in our hearts, by the preaching of the Holy Gospel, true faith. Even as Jesus said, no one comes to him unless the Father draws him. Draws him then by the working of God's Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus said to Nicodemus, namely, all who are born again are born from above by the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit, which the Catechism stresses in question 53 and 54. The basic truth will keep us from many errors and particular confusion over the purposes of sacraments. They cannot create faith. It would be like if we had a dead body and we force-fed food into the body and water, would that body get life? I mean, would that body become alive? Simply we're giving it food and drink? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But on the other hand, if the body is alive, then food and drink is necessary to sustain life, but it can't give life. The sacraments cannot give true faith. But what the sacraments were designed for and can do is to strengthen that faith, to maintain that faith. And that's why we have to understand their purpose, lest we turn the purpose for the sacraments into what it was never designed to be. And then we're in trouble. Then we're in trouble. Then we're misusing the sacraments. So sacraments don't create faith, they confirm faith. That's what they do. They are necessary for us. They are a means of grace. They are there to give us tangible ways of understanding and coming to terms with exactly what is the gospel. What does the Lord Jesus Christ do for us? And as Jesus himself used that analogy in words, listen, your salvation is based on my body and my blood. That's the way the scriptures speak about it. We are cleansed through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have an entrance into the Holy of Holies. We can cry out, Abba, Father. Because through him, we've been reconciled to God, our Father. Through the baptism, of course, when we look at that, through the shedding of blood, our sins are washed away in the same way that water washes away our dirt. So we bathe with water and our dirt goes away. So Jesus uses that analogy in baptism to say that through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, our sins are washed away. Again, not in a literal sense, but the fact that he pays for our sins and our sins are not accounted unto us. Those are the truths that the sacraments seek to convey to us in a very tangible and visual way, so that they may take root in our minds and hearts, that we may understand what the gospel is for us, rather than in words, which we have in the scriptures. But his, I mean, we do that in school, don't we? We have all kinds of subjects where we teach, especially in the sciences, when we teach and we can give the theory behind those things. But then most of the sciences come with labs. Why? Because we go into the labs and then we show them. So if we want to understand that metals expand when they're heated, then we show that, right? We can talk about expansion all we want in theory and even work out how much it will expand. But to teach that, what do? We take a ball of metal and we put it through a hole of metal and it is just there. It doesn't go through, or rather it goes through. And now we heat it up and now we put it there. It doesn't go through. In other words, expand it. And so there we show the relationship between heat and metals and what impact it has upon them. So we do it in our earthly way. And so here is God using that same system, even as he does with parables, is another way to put in very earthly terms, things that we, spiritual truths that we can understand. And that's what the sacraments are, helping us to understand what God has done for us. So the relationship to the gospel promise. So the sacraments are show the connection and purpose of the sacraments related to the gospel. It's all related to the gospel. So they speak about what God has done for us and the benefits that we derive from the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and particularly, of course, his death on the cross. That's the thrust of the sacraments, helping you understand the gospel. And those that believe, helping you to understand what God has done for you, what you have received from God. To others that don't believe, there's a promise. This is what the promise is. But to those that do believe, then there's a reminder, a confirmation of what God has done for us. And so we partake of the sacraments and we rejoice in that. We're thankful to God. Then now we can understand, and it's clarified for us in this very visual way. Yes, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. In my heart, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But now I get to see it, and I get to participate in it. Now, in the witness of God's people, I receive the blood and body of the Lord Jesus Christ. No one stands up and says, he or she shouldn't be taking it. So you've got the confirmation of God's people, the church, that brings the elements before you, confirming what you believe inside. So it's one thing for you to think about yourself and your own salvation in your mind, but it's another thing to have it verified, as it were, confirmed by others, the church, the leaders of the church, and other brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it's open. Somebody can come in the church and say, why is such and such taking a communion? They don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. As elders, we would have to look into that. Or as elders, we can say that. But of course, we've already interviewed people. But as we read this morning, there may be times that we say, hey, you shouldn't be taking the Lord's Supper, not in the condition that you're in, not the things that you're doing. So by us participating with God's people under the supervision of the leaders in the church, then that's confirming what we believe inside of our hearts, that yes, we're the children of God. And they they seal to us. Not only are they visual signs, says the Catechism, but they're seals to us. What are seals? Seal is authenticates the genuineness of the promises that God has made to you. So when you come to the Lord's table, as I've said, in terms of the witness of other people, being happy that you're partaking with them, well, the seals of that, the sacraments are seals, God seals to us. You're my children. You can come to my table. So what the elders do and the church does in having you come to the Lord's table should be seen as God welcoming you to the table. As I said this morning in terms of our upcoming Lord's Supper next week, all those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who repent of their sins, resolve to live a life of obedience, and are members of the true church, are what? Are welcome to join us around the Lord's table. You have a seat at the Lord's table. And you hear it officially from the church. And so it certifies to us, seals to us, that which we believe in our hearts about the life and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. But then there's another important thing, especially in our churches these days, and that is, how do the sacraments relate to preaching? How should we view those two things? And you may say, well, why are we talking about that? I mean, how does that come into the equation? Well, it comes into the equation because depending on how we view the sacrament, there are churches that say we should celebrate it every Sunday, which is, by the way, the Catholic way. Every Sunday, they'll have Mass. And so now you have Protestant, even Reformed churches, that are drifting towards that way, and so they'll have the Lord's Supper every Sunday. And then you think, well, is that being taught by the scriptures, and that's what we ought to be doing? If it is, then the church hasn't been doing it all through its history. But now understanding the sacraments, and now it's saying, well, the Catechism wants us to understand that. And it doesn't want us to, you know, like, I'm for Peter, I'm for Paul, I'm for the sacraments, I'm for preaching. No, it shouldn't be that. So the Catechism says preaching teaches us to focus our faith in the cross. That's the point of preaching. As Paul says, we preach Christ and Christ crucified. So it all zeroes in, it all points to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the most central and glorious truth that we want to present to the world. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Because there we speak about salvation. There we speak about what God has done for us. And we don't just bring it in terms of a display, look what happened. I mean, that in and of itself isn't going to do anything for them. There were many people that saw the Lord Jesus get crucified. But they didn't believe. They didn't embrace what was happening and understand what was happening by faith. So just seeing it doesn't do anything. So we preach it with the idea of repent, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. We have to trust in Him. And there were those that did that. Whatever view they had of the Lord Jesus Christ before the crucifixion, afterwards they said, this surely was the Son of God. Some went beating their breasts. Why? Didn't they know where they were going and what was going to happen before their eyes? Yes, they'd probably been there before. But what was so different now? They realized, they came to understand, whether it was from what the words that Jesus spoke, or what He said to the thief on the cross, or what the centurion said, that it came to their minds and hearts that this was the Son of God, the Messiah. And they had just witnessed him being crucified. No wonder they went beating their breasts. So the preaching, the purpose of preaching is to direct people to the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior who, by his death, by the shedding of his blood, provides for us cleansing for our sins and peace with God. That our sins are washed away and we are right with God. So, what do the sacraments do? Well, we just said, sacraments assure us and concentrate our faith on the cross, on the Lord Jesus Christ, on what he has done. So the sacraments, when, if they're not understood right, as we've said, by the people that heard Jesus speak, as well as the Jews and his disciples about eating my flesh and drinking my blood, when we don't understand that, we're confused. And we walk away from the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we understand what the sacraments mean, what do? They call us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust in him, to what he did on the cross, that it was for our sins, that we might be reconciled with God, that our sins may be cleansed through his blood. That's what they're speaking about. And so they too direct our faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that has to be central. And if we deviate from that and we just trust the sacraments, then we really fall into the same trap as not only the Jews that trusted in the sacrifices in and of themselves, but also the Catholic just trust in the actual doing of the sacrament. So it's wrong then for us to pitch one against the other and almost want equality, which is what ends up in those churches. In other words, you get preaching and the sacraments every week. As though it's essential, you have to have that. But no. Nowhere in the scriptures does it say faith comes by doing the sacraments. But it does say faith comes by preaching, hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we're not to have confusion about that. We're not to worry about that, to say, oh, the sacraments are the means of grace. We should be doing them every week. I mean, if that was the case, then why would the Jews only have one Passover? Why wouldn't they do it every week? It would be important for them to understand that, wouldn't it? That God delivered them from Egypt and the angel of death passed over them. Why wouldn't they do that every week? But no. No. So we're not belittling the sacraments. We're not saying they don't communicate anything to us. They don't provide any grace for us. They do. But how is that grace provided? Well, our forms tell us that. It's certainly not through the eating of the elements. They don't magically provide something for us when we eat them. No, absolutely not. So what is it? It's the truth that they convey. And it's the Holy Spirit that takes that truth and strengthens our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they're for. And that happens in the preaching too. So when you hear the preaching of God's word and you embrace that and the Holy Spirit uses that to build us up, to strengthen our faith, then we have the same blessings. Same blessings. But of course, the preaching covers all of what God's word teaches in time, when we preach different passages, we get all of what God has to say for us. But we can't fit that in the sacrament. The sacraments don't have the ability to reflect everything else the scriptures teach. All scriptures God breathed. So we need that. We need the word to be preached. But the sacraments, as I said, bring to focus to our minds and hearts what God has done through the Lord Jesus Christ, to confirm that faith to us, those promises to us, to build us up in the faith, and when we're down, to lift us up. And so we're not, as I said, we're not to look at them in that superstitious way that sadly the Catholics do. And as I said, some Protestant churches getting to that kind of Catholic way of looking at it. So in relation to the church, they are avenues of God's grace. So that was an issue in the Reformation time, whether the sacraments were just intellectual, just communicated ideas, truths, just a learning thing, that's all it was, as opposed to the Reformers that said, no, it is that. It does give us truth about what the Lord Jesus Christ did, but you also are fed, you're also nourished. And that's what I've been saying. It's not automatic, just by eating you get it. No, it's through the exercise of faith. It's by means of faith and the working of God's Holy Spirit. So we do not only remember what Christ did for us and reflect on that, and it informs our intellect, but also we feed on that, right? We're nourished by that. And that comes, if you don't have faith, you can't get that. If you don't have faith, you just see it. That's it. You don't benefit from the Lord's Supper beyond that. But when you have faith, not only do you see it, but you embrace it. You benefit from it. It builds you up just like the Word of God does. It's profitable for this and for this and for this and for this. And so does the sacrament. So we don't just do the sacrament just to remember what happened, but to rejoice in it. And it's been commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ, as our Belgian Confession says. We're not free to make more sacraments. I mean, we can't just say, oh, you know, it's a good thing to have visual things confirming our faith, and so we'll make other sacraments too. No, we don't have the right to add to the sacraments. So there's only two. So the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has only two sacraments, and that's the Lord's Supper and baptism. And so we don't try and make it more, interactive, worship interactive, our religion more interactive by creating more things that people can engage in as though somehow that makes it easier. No. No, we ought not to be wiser than God. Two sacraments, the Lord's Supper and baptism, both of which focus our faith in no one else and nothing else save the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice of his body on the cross for us and the shedding of his blood. We cannot take our eyes off that. That is our strength. That is our comfort. And both preaching and the sacraments do that. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the way that you seek to impress upon our minds intellectually what it is that the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished in his life and in his death. And our Father in heaven, we're thankful that you have provided for us 66 books covering the Old and the New Testament to lay out in wonderful detail the plan of salvation that you couched before the creation of this world. And our Father in heaven, we thank you because it is through that word that we come to faith. That faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's not just about feelings. It's about facts of what have been accomplished and written down for us in the scriptures. And so, Father, we pray that we may love your word, that we may read it, that we may rejoice to hear it explained, so that we can use it, that it will strengthen us for every good work that you call us to do. But our Father in heaven, we're also thankful for sacraments, because there are so many times that we wonder, we doubt. And just as Abraham needed those promises to be an anchor for the soul, we're thankful that the sacraments serve in that way. They serve to seal the promises that you made to everyone that believes, that they understand they've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they have a seat around your table, not only in this world, but for eternity. And so, Father, we thank you for confirming that to us and helping us as the devil seeks to undercut our faith. We're thankful that these avenues provide for us support through the church and your promises that we are your children. Father, then we ask that you would bless us and lead us into this week so that we may honor you in everything that we do. For we pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and respond as we sing from the blue hymnals, number 354.